The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the most important day in recent NFL history. Russell relocating. Does Denver now become the team in a crazy stacked division while Rodgers remains? The Aaron era ain't over. We've got the insight on exactly how it all went down. And so, two legendary quarterbacks go Super Bowl or bust. The pressure's on, and we've got it covered from every possible angle as we get up with you, starting right now on the day that we have been waiting all our lives to bring you on a blockbuster day. Oh, we got the right crew ready. Orlovsky is here. Kmart is ready to go breaking stories. RG3, Mike T are here. We will have Shefty and Neek and Booger all on the way on the morning after the blockbuster trade. Here we go. The Broncos have agreed to send a significant package of players and draft picks to the Seahawks for Russell Wilson. The 10 players and picks are the most in a trade since the Herschel Walker deal in 1989. Between the Cowboys and the Vikings. Here are the specifics. The Broncos, of course, get the jewel of it all in Wilson, plus a fourth-round pick. Going to Seattle, 8 pieces, 3 players, 5 draft picks, including the number 9 overall pick in this year's draft. And so let's bring it to the table. And Kmart, my insider extraordinaire, I start with you. This one sort of snuck up on us. The Rodgers news came earlier, and then out of nowhere, boom, we get hit with Russell Wilson to Denver. How did this happen?
Well, because Aaron was the domino. Everybody was expecting to fall, right? But the Broncos, they were sneakily working behind the scenes. In Indy, when I was at the combine, everybody close to the Denver and their GM said they are not going to go into the season with a rookie quarterback. Like, expect them to try to do something. The question is, what would they be able to do? And Russell makes the most sense because he's a guy that had made it clear from last year behind the scenes, not as vocal as Aaron, that he did not want to be in Seattle. Now they find a trade partner, and the rest is history.
It just isn't his style to be as out in front of it as Rodgers. But clearly now you can tell that behind the scenes they've been working to make this happen. So for a player who has a Super Bowl championship on his resume and has been a terrific player for a long time, but sometimes gets overlooked in the discussion with all the great young quarterbacks, what does this deal mean for Russell Wilson?
Well, it was needed for his legacy. This was a necessity for Russell Wilson, Greeny. And this is probably the best team that he is going to be on since the teams that he was on that were those NFC Championship and Super Bowl winning football teams. This now places the Broncos as a Super Bowl contender, not a Super Bowl favorite, but certainly top 4 in that conference. But Russell Wilson needed to be on a team that he could go, okay, right now I'm a Hall of Famer. Can I get myself into that conversation of greatest ever? In that grouping, however you want your handful of guys, whoever they may be, he's not in it right now because he only has one Super Bowl. This roster and the fact that he's going to play really good football for the next 5 years gives him a chance to get into that handful of guys in that conversation.
Let's talk about the roster, RG3. As you look at the pieces that he brings, he comes here to play with. They do lose a really good tight end in Fant. How about the weapons that he has to work with now in the Mile High City?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Yeah, Gritty, I hate the fact that they got rid of Fant because he really could have took a step to the next level with Russell Wilson as his quarterback. But when you look at the way that they're built, they're young at wide receiver. They got Courtland Sutton. They got Jerry Jeudy. Hopefully KJ Hamler can come back off of his injury and be an impact player for them as well. And then he's got two dynamic running backs in Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. And we know what Russell Wilson can do and how he can cook when he's got a running back and a running game to back him up. So I'm really excited for him and the Denver Broncos. I mean, the GM, George Payton, he took a big swing, got the guy that he wanted, the guy that him, Nathaniel Hackett, and offensive coordinator Justin Alton thought would be their guy. I know they have to be saying, let's go right now. And the Broncos fans, they went from crying because Aaron Rodgers didn't come to town playing baby violins, and now they got the shot in their arm that they needed with Russell Wilson coming to town.
Yeah, and Mike T, you were making the point that this is a huge win for Wilson, orchestrated by his agent. Explain to everybody why this works out so well for him in ways that even go beyond the field.
Mark Rodgers did a remarkable job. When he signed his last extension in Seattle, he did a shorter-term deal. Russell Wilson only has 2 years left on his deal. They'll wait for Aaron Rodgers to reset the market, which presumably will happen any day now. And then he'll get an extension more than that. So he did a remarkable job quietly behind the scenes, setting the table, getting his client to where he wanted to be in Denver. And now watch what happens with these quarterback deals. The cap went up to $208 million, Greeny. Rodgers goes first, and then Wilson will go after him.
Okay, so it is a win all the way around, we think, for Russell Wilson, except I can't count the number of times, Dan Orlovsky, on this show, I have asked the question, should Aaron Rodgers stay out of the AFC West because it is so loaded and stay instead in the comparatively easy NFC North? Well, Rodgers chose that option, and now here goes Wilson into a division with Mahomes and Herbert and Carr and the rest of the AFC. How does he stack up amongst the great quarterbacks, the genuinely murderer's row of quarterbacks in that conference?
Yeah, I mean, this is the least definitive thing I've ever said on television. Patrick Mahomes still sits on the top of that throne. And then I'd say Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr. Again, that's the least definitive thing I've ever said. They're all ones. They're all phenomenal players. But I don't look at the Denver Broncos now with Russell Wilson and say, oh, they're Super Bowl favorites. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not even division favorites. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Chiefs still are. Now it gives them the chance to be in that conversation for top four teams. But we're talking about Patrick Mahomes that's still got Tyreek Hill and still has Travis Kelce. And they are going to get a number two receiver. Justin Herbert, they just kept Mike Williams. They're going to be an explosive offense again. Russell Wilson, the Broncos had no chance in that division at 7 o'clock yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. They now have a chance to not only be in the division conversation, but Super Bowl contending conversation. But Russell Wilson, I still don't believe is the best player in that division, quarterback-wise.
From the moment that Shefty broke this story yesterday, of course, it sets the football conversation on fire, and I'm sure it came out. You were talking to a bunch of people around the league. What was the reaction you were hearing to Wilson to Denver and how good he can be and they can be?
Well, I think, as Dan is saying, this is a team that goes from having zero chance to now they have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, despite where you place Russell in the hierarchy of top 10, top 5 QBs. But there wasn't shock among people that I spoke to. That's what I found surprising, because we spent so much time talking about, could Rodgers go there? Could Rodgers go there? But they see Denver as, it made sense. For all the reasons that it made sense for Aaron, it makes sense for Wilson. This is
needed.
This is the moment. This is a Tom Brady type of moment. This is a Peyton Manning type of moment. Like, come to this franchise. And you saw Jerry Jeudy's tweets. Like, you know, saw that the deflation to elation of, like, okay, we lit. Like, that's the energy that a Russell Wilson brings to a franchise. And Nathaniel Hackett, keep in mind he was in Jacksonville. Like, him paired with Russell, like, I understand that these receivers have not proven what DK Metcalf and other guys have shown, but think about the QBs they've been paired with, too.
Sure, two things. Russell Wilson was dying in Seattle. He was dying.
Just to put it bluntly.
He was. It's just the reality of where they were organizationally, yeah. Where he was when it came to the national reputation for him as a player. This was needed for his Hall of Fame legacy career. Now, Denver, with Nathaniel Hackett, who comes over from Green Bay, they have a quarterback that can take this offense to places like Aaron Rodgers took Green Bay's. I mean, that's the type of player Russell Wilson is. I believe that he gets knocked off nationally because of where he played and yeah. that people maybe don't see him as much yeah. as we had hoped because of the franchise. He is just as talented a player as any guy that we have in the position, maybe outside of Patrick.
And he walks, RG3, you were making the point in our meeting this morning, in some footsteps on a path that has been well-traveled, right? The idea of a star veteran quarterback going to Denver and having great success, that is a script that we have seen before, yes?
Yeah, it's a script we've seen before, Greeny. Four of the top five passers in Broncos franchise history have all been acquired by trade. John Elway, Peyton Manning, Jake Plummer, Craig Morton, all these guys have been acquired by trade and come in and played extremely well. I think when it's all said and done, we'll add Russell Wilson to that list of guys, and he'll have a Super Bowl attached to it. And you've heard everybody talk about Nathaniel Hackett. He was with Jacksonville Jaguars. He had them within a game of playing in the Super Bowl. So when you talk about what Russell can do, people get clouded from last year. Even though last year he had 25 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions and missed 3 games. He is a great player. He's going to be a force multiplier for this roster, and I know those guys are excited. Just look at all their tweets. These guys can't wait to play Russell Wilson.
And Mike T, just sort of from where you sit again as a general manager in two different stops during your career, if you're an executive in that AFC right now, this is a move you have to make. You either have it or you and yeah. it is truly a case of the haves and the have-nots in the AFC, right?
100%. And something that bears some context here is the Rams were the 4 seed and won the Super Bowl. So I agree with what Dan was saying. They don't have to win the division and still have a meaningful chance to win the championship, which they do. They have a great left tackle in Garrett Bowles, amongst the other things that RG3 just mentioned. If you don't, Greeny, you have no hope. It's almost like being relegated in soccer in Europe. When you talk about the Browns and all these other teams that don't have a elite quarterback, you have no chance whatsoever. The Broncos do. They've earned a seat at the table, and I can't wait to watch the AFC West this year.
Now, the West and throughout the entire conference. We will talk a little later in this hour about where this leaves some of the other teams that did not get a seat yet in this game of musical chairs. But we haven't even
2023?
Gotten, we have spent 10 months talking about where Aaron Rodgers would wind up. And now we've spent the first 10 minutes of our show not getting to him. That's how busy today is. Aaron Rodgers has made his decision, and he's staying put in Green Bay. The decision coming on franchise tag deadline day, as the Packers then did tag star wide receiver Devontae Adams. No surprise there. Rodgers coming off his second straight MVP season. Candidly, from the moment this team drafted his heir apparent, he's been the best player in the National Football League. That is probably not a coincidence. Having said it, Kmart, I can't count the number of times I have asked you, how is this thing going to play out? So now that it has, how did it work out this way? How did it work out that Rodgers stays put?
Honestly, I think it was seasons of the franchise finally giving Aaron everything he wanted. Like, he's the guy that needs to feel loved. And Jordan Love, is the guy that set everything in motion. His presence.
I see
presence,
what you did there.
You see what I did there, people? He's the guy that set everything in motion. And since then, the Green Bay Packers have been trying to almost make up for making that pick. And now Aaron went from a bad relationship, a bad marriage, to now they're feeling good. This franchise is saying, we want you, we'll give you whatever we want. Randall Cobb, cool. Your QB coach out of retirement, cool. You got that Devontae tag, let's go. And they are mortgaging, they really are saying, it's all about 2022 yeah. with Aaron. And they hopefully for the Packers, it works out for this front office.
Well, look, I mean, to a different way, Tampa did that with Tom Brady yeah. and they win. The Rams did that with Matt Stafford and they win. The Packers didn't have to go outside the organization. They kept their own guy in place and they did it. We'll talk about what this means for Jordan Love as we continue. But let's deal in the Rodgers of it. What does it mean for him now? What is on his shoulders as this franchise now is all on him?
Something he's never had. That's being the guy in the NFL that has more pressure on him than anybody. That's a reality now. Kmart just labeled out all the things that have transpired in this organization over the last, let's say, 10 months, 12 months. And the Green Bay Packers, both their general manager, Brian Gutekunst, and Matt LaFleur, have said, here it is, bud. Mm-hmm. Now you got to go pay it off. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, I do not believe, has been in this position before. He's the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He's an MVP. He's had pressure on him. Not like this. You said mortgage your future. There's been a mortgage, a refinancing. Those people have placed everything at his feet this year and said, you got to go win us a Super Bowl, man. The general manager and head coach's futures are on in this season. And I don't care what happens with this organization and with this football team and this player, Aaron Rodgers, in September, October, November, December. I do not care. You have to go now, make all these moves and all this conversation and all the pieces that have been moved around. You got to go pay it off with a Super Bowl championship. No, you can't go up here. No, you can't win the NFC. You have to go bring the trophy home.
So let's make a really important point here, Mike Tannenbaum, and that is you can't answer the question. We cannot answer the question about their chances of winning until we get one more important piece of information. What is that, Mike?
His contract. Remember this, Tom Brady played for $26 million a year in Tampa Bay. They won a championship. If Aaron Rodgers goes above 46, 47 into $50 million a year, Greeny, they are diminishing their chances to win a Super Bowl, which would be a real tragedy given everything they just went through. The more the pie he takes, players like Devondre Campbell, players like Rasul Douglas, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, amongst many others, may not be there. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, this is about my legacy. When I'm done, if I win a couple more Super Bowls, I'll make more money than I ever dreamed of. But if he takes too much of the pie, looking at this graphic, he's not going to be able to keep his teammates. And I've been in that room for 20 years, Greeny. You are the point guard of information as the GM. You are simply saying, Aaron, you are here. How much money do you want? The more you take, the less of your teammates that will be here. What would you like to do?
Now, the NFL salary cap's a zero-sum game. They're going to have to figure out a way to play with that, and it's going to start, we would assume, with a long-term deal for Devontae Adams. That said, RG3, he stays put in an NFC where we do not have anywhere near the volume of great quarterbacks that we have over in the AFC. So what does this mean for the Packers right now? What are the Green Bay Packers, in your mind, in the NFC at this moment?
Well, Greeny, it definitely puts them in the driver's seat in the NFC North because they own that division and they brought back the two best players and the guys that are the most reason that they're in the position that they're in the first place with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. But I got a couple things that I got to disagree with there with Dan and my guy Mike T. I don't think Rodgers has the most pressure on him in the league. Why? Because this has always been the case. It's been Super Bowl or bust for over a decade for the Packers. This is year 18 for Aaron Rodgers, so this is nothing new. They simply... Their focus has to be on the postseason. You got to play the regular season one game at a time. We all know the cliches, but they have to stay healthy in the championship rounds going towards the Super Bowl so they can get over that hump. They figured out that recipe of how to get to the NFC championship game, and they've lost twice. This past year, they flamed out in the divisional round, but they have to find that wide receiver 1B, right, to Devontae Adams so that teams can't hone in on him in the playoffs and really shut their offense down. And then with Mike T., I just think the Packers, they can find a way to make the salary cap work. There's never been a team that hasn't been able to pay the guys that they feel have the most value to the team. They will find a way to find that money, restructure. There's so many mechanisms within the salary cap that they can use to sign all these guys, and I think their focus has to be on Devondre Campbell and Rasul Douglas.
Well, it'll start, obviously, with the contract of Rodgers, and we'll find out what that is. And, Dan, I know that I have to tell you, on some level, I agree with RG3, and here's why. Because Aaron Rodgers has already achieved a level of greatness that is unquestioned. He's going to retire as one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Mm-mm. But every year he doesn't win the Super Bowl is another year he doesn't take that next step. And that's no more true next year than it was this year or last year or the year before. I think that for his legacy, championships are the only thing that matter, and it's been that way for a while.
Sounds like you're on Dan's team.
Exactly. What he's saying is it's been that way for a long time, and I think it has too.
No, but context of that situation matters. Name me the organization, the last one that you can think of, that recently drafted a quarterback in the first round to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they said, you know what? We don't want the first-round quarterback anymore. That matters in this situation.
I see.
They drafted his they moved up in the draft to go get his replacement, and he has played at such a level individually that they have said, no, the guy that we believed that we wanted to go replace – I mean – They moved on from Brett Favre for Aaron.
Yes.
They didn't move on from Aaron for Jordan Love. Aaron has had pressure on him. There's no question about that. He's never had pressure like this. This organization, and given to Mike T's point, we don't know what the contract looks like, but it's not going to be cheap. I mean, this organization, they very well can move on from that draft pick that they selected to go replace him. They've fronted a ton of money. This is an all-in situation. He has to go win the Super Bowl. If we get to, what are we, in March of 2023 and they don't win a Super Bowl, we will all deem it a disappointment.
Oh, I agree. I think it's been a disappointment the last few years, but your point is well taken. The Jordan Love of it all. Think about what they've done here. They moved on from Brett Favre, a first ballot Hall of Famer for him, and now they're going to move on from Jordan Love, a first round draft pick 2 years ago for him. That point I think is well taken.
And that's why he's got to go pay it off. And again, because of the mortgaging of the future for the general manager and the head coach, they need it to pay off as well. Aaron's got to make it pay home.
All right, I'm going to leave this here. I'm going to do the basketball. I want to show the Kyrie, but we're going to get to the Jordan Love of this.
Pressure.
A little bit later. No, I think it's a point well taken. We will come back to this, I promise. We will basically wall to wall on the two quarterback deals. But Kyrie Irving scored 50 points in an NBA game last night. Let's show you the performance of the night. Kyrie and the Nets visiting the Hornets in Charlotte. He only plays road games. First quarter, Nets up 9 and cruising. And Kyrie did it from every possible place last night. That's a spot-up three. That would give the Nets a 12-point early lead. Now he's going to knock down a contested three. He had 20 points in the first half on 5 of 7 shooting, 4 of them threes. Nets by 26. Fourth quarter, the Nets still have a big lead, but Kyrie is heating up. There he is turning defense into offense. And look at him, just working magic with the basketball in his hands. They're pulling away. The question is, how high would he take it? Under 4 minutes to go, Kyrie again finding space. He was 15 of 19 from the floor in this game. And with a minute remaining, he was on 48. Let's do it. Half a century for Kyrie Irving. He scored 30 points in the second half, while the rest of his team scored 33 combined. Nets win it 132-121. Their next game, tomorrow night in Philadelphia. Circle it on the calendar. As we continue, the two biggest quarterback moves have now been made. We will ask Adam Schefter as he joins us live, what are the next dominoes to fall? He's coming up. Plus, lost in all of this craziness is the future of Jordan Love. What should the Packers do with the man who sort of started all of this involuntarily? The answer is going to surprise you, and it's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're watching Get Up, and we are brought to you by Disney and Pixar's Turning Red original movie, streaming Friday only on Disney+. All right, meanwhile on planet Earth, which is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, you're going to like this. Remember, Danny, back on Halloween of 2018, Clay Thompson, Halloween, dressed up as Will Ferrell's character, Jackie Moon. Well, look at this. Last night at the Warriors game, Will Ferrell returned the favor. What do you think?
In the flesh. Look how good it looks. The hair looks amazing. The lettuce on the top of the head is glorious. A lot of thought is showing.
You thought you had good hair, right? Oh.
Ooh, it's a Steph.
That's Steph.
That's outstanding. That doesn't go in.
This is what Greeny looks like in all those celebrity basketball games. That's before my remembrance.
As much thigh, that's as much as Greeny shows at Campo Beach.
Oh, eat your heart out. Will Ferrell getting it done. Coming up, it was the most consequential day in recent NFL memory. How did it happen and what happens now? Shefty will join us live with the latest. It's Get Up on ESPN. Now, here's the most important thing we're going to tell you today. The Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. And if you would like to help support and donate, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. Meanwhile, back to the news of this extraordinarily busy day. What a wild afternoon it was in the NFL. Let us count the ways, all right? It starts with the news that Aaron Rodgers is going back to Green Bay. On Twitter, Rodgers did confirm his return, though he added he's not yet signed a new contract, so we'll wait for the deal there. But the reaction from Broncos receiver Jerry Jeudy. Remember, we all thought he might go to Denver. Well, Jerry Jeudy was sad. He posted the sad face emoji. And then, what seems like 15 minutes later, though it was really a couple of hours later, Adam Schefter breaking the enormous news that the Broncos get Russell Wilson. And so you go back to Jerry Judy's Twitter account to get the reaction. And now Jerry Jeudy says, and I quote, "Oh, we lit." And he's got the much happier emoji to go with it. And so here's Adam Schefter, who had the story yesterday. And Schefter, I will just come directly to you. We have spent so much time on this show and others talking about the possibility of Rodgers winding up in Denver. How did the Broncos wind up pulling off Russell Wilson?
Look, the fact of the matter is that the Broncos general manager, George Payton, initiated these talks weeks ago, and they began to gain more and more steam. And I think the Broncos recognized that it didn't feel to them like Aaron Rodgers was going to be leaving Green Bay. And I think when he wasn't going to be leaving Green Bay, they stepped up efforts with the Seahawks. Now, keep in mind, Greeny, there were about a dozen teams that reached out to Seattle to inquire about Russell Wilson, who had a no-trade clause in his contract. So Russell Wilson got to dictate where he wanted to go. It would have been very simple, and was very simple, for him to say no to certain teams that called, to certain opportunities that could have and would have presented themselves. Russell Wilson set his sights on Denver. That was the place, essentially, that he picked, as well as the Broncos. And the Seahawks were getting all kinds of offers anyway. They were listening. And when Pete Carroll said last week there's no intention of trading Russell Wilson, you had to listen to the full answer to grasp the intricacies of his answer. And inside his answer was the fact that we'll always do what's best for our team. We always listen to what will make the team better. And Seattle was listening to offers for Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson got to dictate ultimately where he would go. That was the place that he wanted it to be, with the Broncos. Now, keep in mind, the Broncos struggled to replace their Hall of Fame quarterback, John Elway, for years. Finally, they signed Peyton Manning, and they won a Super Bowl. For years, they've struggled to replace Peyton Manning. They started 11 different quarterbacks since he retired. And now, they've made the bold and aggressive play to go out and trade two ones, two twos, another mid-round pick in exchange for Russell Wilson, along with the three players that Denver sent back to Seattle. And Green, let me just keep going on and on, because there's so much to this that is so interesting. From Seattle's standpoint, I know people keep saying Seattle's rebuilding, and I think that's incorrect. I think Seattle is reshaping and remaking its roster, because if you're the Seahawks now and you've got double ones and double twos from Denver, if you wanted to get in on Deshaun Watson and go turn those picks into Deshaun Watson, you could probably trade all those picks, get back to Deshaun Watson, and now essentially you flipped Russell Wilson for Deshaun Watson plus Drew Lock, Shelby Harrison, Noah Fant. And you've gotten 6, 7, 8 years younger at quarterback. You've gotten a quarterback who's got 4 years left on his deal at a lower number than Russell Wilson. And so there's a lot of ways that Seattle can now go attack this. John Schneider, the Seahawks general manager, also could turn around and flip pick number 9, get back more ones. There's a lot of things that Seattle can do, but I think it's reshaping and remaking its roster, not necessarily rebuilding its roster, despite the fact that they told their all-pro linebacker Bobby Wagner last night, he's a franchise icon, that they're moving on from him and releasing him later today as well.
All right, fascinating. And the tentacles of this thing are almost never ending, to the point that you make here. One more thing for you before I bring the rest of the group in, and that is, with Rodgers staying in Green Bay, certainly not an enormous surprise there, but a monumental decision on his part. We still don't know about the contract for him. And Mike Tannenbaum brought up the point in the opening of our show today here, Shefty, that that's going to be an extremely important piece of this puzzle, as that team has to try and figure out how to keep Devontae Adams and make a lot of the other moves they make. What, if anything, do we know? Because he disputed some of the numbers that were at one point yesterday reported elsewhere. What do we know, if anything, about the contract that Rodgers is going to get?
Well, look, this is not a great big mystery. This is not a beautiful mystery, as Aaron Rodgers himself likes to describe. He's going to get a new contract. He was always going to be the highest paid quarterback in football. It's no surprise. But the contract, according to Aaron Rodgers, is not done. there have been some discussions. It's been waiting to essentially get finalized. I'm sure they will move that along because they have to move it along because they need him to lower his salary cap number. So he was always going to lower his cap number. He was always going to be the highest paid quarterback in football. There's not much mystery in any of this, but the contract is not done yet.
Okay, so stay with me, Shefty. I want to bring everyone else back into the conversation because there's so much here to react to. And as I mentioned after your first comment, this thing has a lot of ripple effects, right? A lot of unintended or, I guess, secondary consequences. And one of them, of course, is Wither Jordan Love. Here's a guy who the Packers traded up to take in the first round just 2 years ago. And now he finds himself, for sure, the odd man out in all this in Green Bay. But Mike Tannenbaum, make the point, if you would, that you made in our meeting today, that based upon the laws of supply and demand, if you will, that Jordan Love might become something of a hot commodity here.
Greeny, there will be a meaningful market for Jordan Love because of what's going on in the draft. If Jameis Winston or Mitch Trubisky was in this year's draft, they'd be the first quarterback selected. Now, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis probably still will go in the first round. After that, when we get into other guys like Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder, I'd rather have Jordan Love, and I'm not the biggest Jordan Love fan. So because of the supply and demand, Jordan Love will have a meaningful market. And by the fact that he sat for 2 years and was coached by Matt LaFleur, Nathaniel Hackett, studied under Aaron Rodgers, that's only going to augment his value to some team that will be desperate. Greeny, as you said, there's the haves and then there's the have-nots. And if you're desperate, Jordan Love doesn't look so bad, especially compared to the 2022 draft.
Right. Let me ask my quarterback here about that, because some might look at this from the outside and say, oh, he's barely played. When he did, it didn't look like much. They've gotten nowhere. He has not gotten anywhere from where he started. But you were making the point, for a young quarterback, it is actually very meaningful what he's done.
Oh, it's huge, and the hardest part has really been done by the Green Bay Packers, and that's getting a young player at that position accustomed to what life is like in the NFL, and how do you study, and how do you prepare, and how do you handle the locker room and your teammates. The hardest part for quarterbacks, I always say this when they're young, is having to do that and develop while also winning games. RG3 can talk about it better than I am, because that's a daunting task. Is you got to win a game on Sunday, but we got to have you develop, and Green Bay's already done that. I think Jordan Love is one of the more interesting guys attached to the NFL right now because of the things that Mike T just laid out. I think 100% Green Bay should trade him and get value for them now. Get value for the now. I want everybody to remember that 3 years ago when they went up in the draft, they went up in the draft for a reason. Mm-hmm. And that's because the teams that they jumped, they must have had some type of idea and or information that those teams wanted to draft Jordan Love. They went to 26. Well, sitting at 27 was Seattle. We'll see what they do with their quarterback situation.
Right.
Tennessee was at 29. There's been conversations around Ryan Tannehill. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins and his contract. Did those teams have interest in Jordan Love at the moment? How about the Indianapolis Colts? I remember after the draft that that was the team that a lot of people were correlating Jordan Love to, and that's why Green Bay had jumped up to 26 to go draft him. So I agree. I think he's going to have a very interesting market, and I think he's just super intriguing right now.
Well, and so, Kmart, you always do a better job than anyone here of putting things into relationship context. So, like, if Rodgers and the Packers went to counseling and they've now worked everything out, where does that leave Jordan Love in the equation?
Jordan Love was the side girl that Green Bay was talking to, and they really loved Aaron, but they thought, oh, maybe this is the next girl that I could date. And then at the end of the day, Packers were like, you know what? I do miss home. I do miss that home cooking. Sorry,
Jordan.
Sorry, Jordan. That's the reality of it. They thought they saw the future in Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And guess what? The present was more important. The present did not look pretty with Jordan Love. It was all about Aaron. And Jordan Love, honestly, is the greatest catalyst right now, because Aaron Rodgers is coming off two MVP seasons. That might mean Jordan Love's exit out of Green Bay, but it could mean that the Packers are in a much better position this year to win a Super Bowl.
So let me circle all the way back to Shefty here. Shefty, should we be expecting over the, you know, we've got free agency starts next week, and we've got the draft, whatever it is now, 6 weeks away or whatever the math is on that. Should we be expecting to hear one day Adam Schefter reports that Jordan Love has been traded somewhere?
I'm not expecting that right now. Look, this could change during the course of the offseason, but I don't know that there is another team out there that could wind up giving Green Bay enough value to make them want to move on from him, when we don't know whether Aaron Rodgers is playing one or two more years, and Green Bay probably still likes Jordan Love as its quarterback of the future. He probably has more value to the Packers than he does to other teams. And I haven't heard anything of the sort that he's available, that teams are looking into him. Now, again, in this league, as we know, anything is always possible. Never rule out anything. But I have not heard any conversation of that sort with that sort of issue gaining traction so far.
On the day where I just, as I mentioned, we've got all these ripple effects, there's a lot of sneaky big news that comes along today. Mike Tannenbaum, give me a sneaky big winner from the moves that came out yesterday.
Jimmy G's bank account. He is now, Deshaun Watson aside, the most coveted quarterback on the planet. He's going to go to some team. The 49ers, their value just skyrocketed yesterday. They'll probably get a first-round pick and something else. And when Jimmy G shows up, he'll command a contract north of $40 million a year. Again, Jimmy G, not perfect, but supply and demand, no other alternatives outside of Deshaun Watson. If you want a veteran quarterback, he will crush it on a new deal once he's traded.
Chefty, I saw that on a podcast recently you had made the comments, we played them here, that it was not at that point anyway a foregone conclusion in your mind that Garoppolo would be traded despite all of the arrows that seem to be pointing in that direction. How about the Jimmy G of it all at this moment in time?
Well, let me just say that that is the equivalent of essentially putting a headline on Pete Carroll saying the Seahawks have no intention of trading Pete Carroll and not listening to everything he says. What I said was, yes, it's likely that the 49ers are going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. But again, it's not a lock that they will. So I still think they're going to trade him. And I still think today they're going to trade him. He had the shoulder surgery within the last week. That has happened. I don't know that this trade is going to move quickly. I think the 49ers would be open to having it happen within the next week. I think maybe Jimmy G, who's got some say here as well, might slow it down a little bit. I think ultimately he will wind up getting traded. You look at the market of teams out there right now, Pittsburgh, New Orleans. There are other teams that need quarterbacks right now. Carolina, Washington is a team that would make a lot of sense. One of them is definitely, if not multiple teams, going to be vying for Jimmy G's services. And to Mike's point, yes, I think he becomes the next quarterback that teams move on to until we have clarity on Deshaun Watson. And then he has the chance, depending on how his legal issues play out, to become easily the top quarterback domino with Jimmy G right behind him.
Oh, bookmark Watson. We're going to come back to him a little bit. But Kmart, you've got a sneaky big loser in all of this, and it's one of those teams.
Greeny. I kind of feel bad for the Washington Commanders, honestly, because they swung for the fences and they basically took the girl out, gave her champagne, wine and dine. At the end of the night, she was like, oh, actually, I'm seeing somebody else and he's cuter. Like, Russell Wilson has a no trade clause and he did not want to go to Washington. They were going to give up more than what the Broncos gave up. But ultimately, he wants to go to Denver. Unless they can pry Jimmy G or Deshaun Watson, you know, you're looking at guys like Mitchell Trubisky, who, again, we're talking about Jordan Love potentially having a market because of what the vet situation looks like and what the draft looks like. Mitchell Trubisky is a guy that a lot of teams are like, yeah, he's going somewhere to be a starter. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, we were not looking at Mitch Trubisky like this, and that we're talking about supply and demand. You know, Washington is in a very tight spot, and I think they're a team that really needs to be aggressive right
Real
now.
Real quick, Chefy, go.
Yeah, well, Kimberly said Washington would be in the market for Deshaun Watson or Jimmy G. I don't know how that franchise, with its history and its questions, could now go trade for Deshaun Watson. I just don't see that happening. To me, that would create a ripple effect, and so it limits their quarterback options even more to where it's Jimmy G or Mitch Trubisky or Marcus Mariota or somebody else that comes free like Carson Wentz if the Colts move on from him. But I don't see Deshaun Watson as a viable option for the Washington Commanders.
It's an interesting point. We will come back to him as we go. Look, we are just jam-packed today. As we continue in just a moment, the two biggest quarterback moves have been made. But up next, we will ask Shefty to get into detail on where all these other dominoes will fall. Stay right there. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up after one of the most consequential days in NFL history. Two huge quarterback moves made. Russell Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos from Seattle. Huge deal. Aaron Rodgers decides to stay in Green Bay. And with Wilson and Rodgers' futures now decided, so much to get to here this morning. And we've got the great crew together. For those of you just joining us, Danny and Kimberly Martin and Shefty and RG3 with us here. And Kmart, we were talking during the break. Now, in that mile high air where everything travels a little bit farther, Russell Wilson in that long passing game, there's reason to think that could be lethal.
If you wanted to see Russ cook, oh, man, that altitude is going to be something special. So Russ leads. I want to make sure I get this right. Russ leads the NFL in deep completions and touchdowns since entering the league. Like, think about him being in. Thank you, Hembo. Is he basking in his glory? Think about how he's looked in Seattle. Now imagine him in Denver and the skill positions that he has, that running that game that they have. This is Nathaniel Hackett in this offense could be really special with Russell.
What do we think? We haven't even gotten to that yet, Dan, but what is this offense with Russell Wilson at quarterback?
Yeah, it'll look very similar to what it did in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. I would tell you this, as a player, Russell Wilson's flaw, you know, his desire to push the ball downfield so much, always trying to create the big play. This offense with which Nathaniel Hackett is going to run that comes from the Shanahan family is one that takes that out of a player. It gives you the easy stuff on a consistent basis by design and play call. It gives you some of those quick bootleg play actions that you just dump the ball out off of that run game. So it's going to take really Russell Wilson's kind of kryptonite away from him while also empowering him with all of those play action shots that they can push downfield. So when it comes to fit, I never say a player should fit. You should always find a place to thrive. This is a scheme that Russell Wilson should thrive in.
I like that. Let me get my other quarterback in here today, RG3. How about it? This LaFleur offense that I remember when he first got to Green Bay, you told me Rodgers is going to love this. It's going to make him better, and clearly it has. How does Russell Wilson's skill set fit into it, RG3?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, I think I lost you guys on the volume there, but I know you can hear me there.
Yeah.
So I think with this offense, I played in this offense. I had the best years of my career in this offense. And what it's going to do, it's going to make Russell Wilson only have to make a few plays a game to be special. They're going to give him the easy throws like Dan's talking about. They're going to get the boots. They're going to establish the running game, and that's going to take pressure off the quarterback. It's why John Elway was able to play so long in Denver. It's why Aaron Rodgers has had a resurgence over the last couple of years in Green Bay, and now Russell, a guy that you could argue has more of an upside than Aaron Rodgers because he can get it done more effectively with his legs and his arm than just Aaron Rodgers' arm and occasional scramble here and there. This offense is dangerous, and they have the weapons to get it done. Yes, they got to beef up the offensive line a little bit in the pass game. They gave up 28 sacks, which was 29th in the league, but they have 2 dynamic running backs and 3 legitimate threats at wide receiver if they can get KJ Hamler to come back off of injury. Healthy. Woo! Russ might be cooking a lot, and a lot of detractors out there are going to be disappointed that he is out there being as successful as he is.
Could be fantasy implications to that. Could be MVP implications to that. Quickly, while I still have Shefty, Adam Shefty, you mentioned Deshaun Watson in our previous conversation here, and I just wanted to get the latest on him as you know it. I've seen there's been some movement there. Is the expectation from people around the league that he will be eligible to play football this coming season?
Well, listen, again, they're going to hear his case on Friday. It's going to be presented to a grand jury. So first things first, and there are legal questions that there are people out there much more qualified than me who can answer those. But from a football perspective, Greeny, I can tell you this. I think the NFL is watching. I think the NFL still is expected to discipline Deshaun Watson this season, which means he would miss time no matter what the resolution is of his case and the civil cases that are out there. I think teams are still interested in monitoring the events of this week, and I do think that the Texans will have multiple interested parties in acquiring Deshaun Watson if and when he can try to get past this legal crisis that is in front of him right now, and we'll see what the Texas court system decides here, what the grand jury decides. But yes, the league discipline still is awaiting him, and yes, there will be teams that are interested in him.
It's always so complicated to try and put that all into perspective because, yes, we're dealing in issues that are so much more important than any football player could possibly be when it comes to football. And yet, if indeed there is a resolution, you're talking about a young quarterback who is as good as anybody, right? I mean, when if you think back, it's almost impossible to remember based on everything that's happened. Deshaun Watson's as good. The last season that we saw him, he was as good as literally any quarterback in the entire National Football
League. We were having conversations of would he be Patrick Mahomes if he was in Kansas City.
That's
and I remember 2 years ago saying the only guy that I would take over Joe Burrow that was under 25 was Deshaun Watson. So talent-wise, the ability to play on the field is as good as anybody in the league. That's just the reality of his skill set. I have been outspoken about this. You better be darn sure your information is correct if you're going to go make a trade for him, and you better make sure that your organization can absorb what you are absorbing when it comes to everything that is going to come with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, let's leave that there for the moment. Again, it remains to be seen how it will play out. And again, it's almost impossible to have the football conversation surrounding Deshaun Watson at this point. So we'll leave it there for the moment. We have much more on the blockbuster trade of yesterday and all the big deals that are taking place and all the ripple effect. Does Russell Wilson change everything in the AFC? That plus Rodgers and much more. Huge hour still on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.